On the state of things today, we are talking about a number of things, including the city of Hillsborough, North Carolina, which you would think, given the fact that it has maintained much of its historic small town charm, it might lead you to believe that it was always a tidy, quiet place. Sundays in Hillsborough, you might guess, were particularly sedate. But 50 years ago, it often sounded like this on a Sunday.
This is it. The crowd comes to its feet as the pace car moves out of the way, and they're off. Number 87 Chevrolet takes the lead on the inside as number 98 Ford hangs outside. Fireball Roberts and number 22 Ford slips into second place as they roar down the backstretch.
That's Okanichi Speedway, a mile-long dirt racetrack that was home to more than 30 NASCAR races. The track hosted stock car legends. Junior Johnson was there. Richard Petty. It brought in tens of thousands of fans to Hillsborough. Now, it was shut down in the late 1960s, but lovers of the Speedway have recently brought its history back to life. A new exhibit at the Orange County Historical Museum called From Horses to Horsepower, The History of Okanichi Speedway, traces that story. And the executive director of the museum, Brandy Fields, joins us today. Hello, Brandy.
Hi there.
It's good to have you with us. Also joined by Gene Hobby, a former NASCAR driver and president of the Historic Speedway Group. Hello, Gene.
Hello. How are you doing, Frank?
I'm doing very well. I'm going to talk to Brandy for a second and talk about the beginning of the story of Okanichi Speedway, an important part of the beginnings of NASCAR, right? I mean, NASCAR and Okanichi go back to got started together, didn't they?
Yes. You have in the 40s informal racing going on, and Bill France really develops NASCAR with other drivers and promoters. And at the same time, he's developing an old horse racing track into the Okanichi Speedway.
That's pretty cool. So the very first, and this is when? 19?
This is 47, 48, and 49.
Right. Just right at the end, just before the 1950s begin, toward the end of the World War, right after World War II. Gene, stock car racing really didn't start at racetracks, start with NASCAR. Tell us about the origin. Give us the history. Remind us about the origins of NASCAR.
The origins of NASCAR? Well, yeah. It developed very, very oddly. A lot of these people up in the mountains, their only way of life was like, you know, they set up a steel and they started making their Carolina Moon, if you want to call it that. and they would haul their product to different places, Asheville, all over the state, Greensboro, you name it. And they would go at night. And they had these hopped up 40, 37, 40 Fords, stuff like that. And then later on, 57 Fords. And they first had like Cadillac engines in them. They were really souped. And they would go at night.
And a great suspension system, right?
Oh, sure. Well, there's a trick about the suspension system. They had these, had to have overload springs on the rear to keep the car level at all times, whether it was empty or full. Because if the revenue saw that the car was squatting down, that was a no-brainer.
Right. You know what's in there. Right.
Yeah. And they ran these dirt back roads, and that's where the revenue finally caught on to where they were getting by. And they couldn't outrun them. They couldn't faster. But they tried strip sticks in the road and everything else to blow the tires out and set up roadblocks. And even some of the moonshiners took the car and put headlights on for tail lights, and the revenue will see that, and they think it's coming right straight at them. So.
That's the one I hadn't heard before. Yes. I knew about the suspension system. I knew that made great drivers and souped-up engines.
Right.
But headlights and the taillights, that's great. So now you started racing in the mid-60s, right? How did you get into stock car
64.
Racing? 64.
Well, I had a lot of the Raleigh Speedway came about in 1953, and they made a one-mile paved track over there, and it ran to 58. And they had like seven Grand National races over there, plus modifieds every Friday night. And in 4th of July, they had the big races over there. And I just got hooked on them. It was just phenomenal. I was about 16, 17 years old. And you just get up there. You couldn't see the track, but you'd go in the track to buy you a $2 ticket, you know, or $1.80 plus tax, you know. And you couldn't wait. I could not wait to get over and look over the bank down to the cars, and it just got in your blood, you know. So
Well, the racetrack had, we're talking about Okanichi Speedway as well. This is a racetrack that was born with NASCAR in Orange County up in Hillsborough. And it was abandoned eventually because stock car racing ended in Hillsborough. What happened to it, Brandy?
Well, really, at that point, they were moving towards paved tracks. And Bill France and his partner had considered paving Okanichi Speedway.
Bill France, we should point out, kind of the founder of NASCAR, right?
Yeah. And he owned the property. And really what happened sort of earlier on, there were some local protests from people who weren't fond of racing on Sundays.
The clergy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So when he was looking at whether he wanted to pave it or not, I'm sure that came into play. So instead of paving it, he actually moved and invested in Talladega, and that replaced the Okanichi Speedway on the circuit.
Okanichi came that close to being Talladega. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. And there were protests probably all over the South, some more robust than others. Bill France taking the temperature, saying here but not there, right? Yeah. So it was abandoned, and it had remained abandoned until the 1990s. Are we going to talk about that, Gene?
Yes. In fact, 07, that's when Frank Craig got the idea to restore the track, because he and his dad worked for the prison department over in Orange County. And every time, say, Frank was about 12 years old, I think, something like that, and he would work with his dad. His dad run security over there, and...
That may be it, but I think the efforts go back even to 1997 when Bill Crowther, who I'm about to introduce, got involved in the preservation effort, and he can tell us about restoration and preservation efforts. Now that Bill, is that when you bought it, 1997, Bill Crowther?
Well, I represent the owners of the track at this point, but yeah, in the mid-90s, there were a group of local preservationists trying to preserve the Eno River Valley, and it includes Preservation North Carolina, it includes the historic Preservation Fund of Hillsborough, and the James M. Johnston Trust, which donated $800,000 to help with the purchase of this property. So in 1997, the property was purchased with 200 acres for $1 million. And then it was transferred, the ownership was transferred to Classical American Homes Preservation Trust at the end of 1997, which is the organization I work for.
And of course, the great thing is there was a track to preserve, right, because a lot of the tracks had gone out of existence.
Well, right? It was pretty much overgrown and in the woods, and it took a good effort by some volunteers to create walking trails on the track. That was our proposed use for the track, since it is now has conservation deed restrictions on the property. So we've opened up walking trails, and that's after several years of people walking on the trail. That's when Frank Craig appeared in 2007. But in 2002, we had that property placed on the National Register of Historic Places, and it's only one of three racing venues on the National Register.
Wow. And yeah, it's a nice place to walk because it is close to the Eno. I mean, that was something unique about this location, right, Brandy? Even when it was in an operation, it was one of the unique tracks in the NASCAR circuit, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Gene can attest to this, but if you didn't take a turn quite right. I mean, you could end up in the woods or maybe all the way down to the river. So,
in fact, tell us about that track, Gene, because you did drive on it. What was it like to drive, and what was unique about that track?
Well, we call it the Super Speedway of Dirt. See, it was a one-mile dirt track. It was one of the longest tracks we ran on, and it was real smooth on the backstretch, on the riverside, and on the front stretch. But in the turns, it got kind of washboardy after the race went on for a little while, you know, and it was hard on the parts under your suspension, you know. So a lot of times you busted a ball joint or something like that, and you ran up in the woods over there. But anyway, the main thing, you go down and you did the power slide. That was invented over there. I think Junior Johnson invented the power slide over there. And you go down in front of both straights, at the end of both straights, you throw it in the turn, just throw it in there and cock it sideways, and it's sideways, and as soon as it gets sideways, you get right back on it, and you see the fantastic rooster tail of the dust.
Wow.
And then you get two cars running side by side. It's a phenomenal sight to see.
So you're going, so you gun it in the straightaway, then just as you're getting in the turn, you let up? And that's when you turn? Do
yeah,
I have that right?
Yeah, you let off of it. If you're wide open, let off of it and just throw it in there. You just throw it sideways.
Now, but you said it's rough on the ball joints, and in fact, you had an accident. Busted ball joint.
Your Magnaflux is called Magnaflexing. So after every dirt track race, you're supposed to go down and Magnaflux the parts like the spindle and the ball joints, you know, in the front.
And that's a way of inspecting for small cracks, put it under an ultraviolet light, put a little solution on it, and you can see these microscopic.
It got so bad that North Friel would have to have a signed document that you had a Magnaflux. Wow. You know, on a dirt track.
So on the site, they had a Magnaflux machine?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you had to do that on your own, you know.
I see.
No, NASCAR wasn't going to spend any money for that. they were going to help you out. I mean, give you $100, you know, to run or something like that. But anyway, I had a terrible crash down there in 65. In fact, it's the first year that they made the shoulder harness mandatory. See, we ran with lap belts, you know, like a safety belt like you run on the car, you know. And that was the first year they made it mandatory in 1965. And I had a Cotton Owens Dodge that I bought from Buddy Arrington, and it had a 426 engine in it, and it was strong. And it was a well-built car. And I tested to that later on the 47 lap. So anyway, I was about halfway back in the pack qualifying, and they were playing the national anthem. And I said, I better tighten these. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I said, I better tighten these shoulder harnesses up, you know, a little tighter. Because that's the way Joe Wesley got killed out in California. He had a lap belt on. When he hit the wall, his head went out the window, you know. So anyway, that's what made it mandatory. So anyway, I tightened him up. And on the 47 left, I was running seventh place. And Junior Johnson passed me. So I said, I'm going to keep up with Junior. I may win the race or come in second. So about three laps after I was chasing him, my real quarter pounder coming out of turn four would brush the bank, you know, what you call now is a safety barrier, you know, except it was a mud bank then. So anyway, my real quarter pounder hit the bank. So about the fourth time, I said, I better slow down. I said, no, I got to keep up with Junior. So I had it wide open again, and all of a sudden, had it wide open before I got the flag stand, and the front end, right front, went down, you know, and there was a boulder there sticking out sort of, and it cartwheeled me into that, and I cartwheeled one time. I mean, just end over end one time and rolled it about five times in front of the grandstand. And it wound up on its wheels and sort of angled up into the grandstand, you know, where the fence was, and all the thing I could see was people hanging in the fence, looking inside the car. And I cut the ignition off, you know. So I said, it wasn't running anyway, but I had a full tank of gas. And I cut it off, and I sat there, took my belts off and stuff like that. And the cars were coming by and all like that. And my crew coming running over after the chute flowed through the caution and said, they thought I was unconscious. They started pulling me out of the car and all this stuff, you know. I said, wait a minute. I said, I won't go get out in front of those cars and get run over.
You survived, but you might not have had they not made that rule, right?
That's right.
Harness.
But basically, somebody was Southern Motor Racing Magazine, the only one out then, caught it as it went end over end and flipping several times. I don't know how they really did that, but.
We got lots of pictures on our website. You can see. We're going to continue our conversation with former NASCAR driver and president of the Historic Speedway Group, Gene Hobby, Bill Crowther's historic preservationist who manages the Speedway site, and Brandy Fields, executive director of Orange County Historical Museum. We're going to continue our conversation about the history of Okanichi Speedway on the State of Things in a moment. Stay with us. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stasio talking about the history of Okanichi Speedway in Hillsboro. Former NASCAR driver and president of the Historic Speedway Group, Gene Hobby, who drove on that speedway many times himself, is here. Bill Crowther's historic preservationist who manages the Speedway site now that it is a historic site. And Brandy Fields is executive director of the Orange County Historical Museum, talking with all of them today. And Gene, you were telling stories about your brush with death, really, a rough crash that you survived. As I said, we've got pictures on our website, stateofthings.org. But also, the fact that it was kind of in the woods and on the way to the Eno provided some interesting backdrops for drivers and fans, didn't it?
Yes, it did. There's no fencing. We were famous. We were the only track running, I think, didn't have a fence anywhere around. And only fence on the head was the dirt banks coming out of the turns and the trees on the backstretch. But see, the people would didn't want to pay. They would climb up the trees on the backstretch, and then they'd like monkeys in the tree on the back, all along the backstretch back there, you know. And they sit there and watch the race. So one of my buddies, Major Melton, ran off there one day. His car did the same thing. He ran off the backstretch and hit one of the trees, and three of them fell out on top of the car.
Everybody okay, I assume.
Yeah,
it's okay for me to laugh, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's also got an interesting history, Brandy, in the sense that, and this was a surprise to me, that there was, in that first year of racing for NASCAR, a woman who was racing in the circuit and, in fact, mm-hmm. raced on at Okanichi, right?
Yeah, not just one. Three of them were racing within the first year. Louise Smith is the one that you're talking about, who ran on the Okanichi for several times. There was also Ethel Flock Mobley, who was the sister of the Flock brothers, who are famous racers, and also Sarah Christian, who was officially the first woman who ran NASCAR and actually drove against her husband in one race.
Who won?
I don't remember on that one.
Louise Smith.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Well, anyway, so I want to talk about it now because there was an effort to preserve it. Of course, many of the tracks have been paved over. Okanichi, a dirt track that was preserved partly by neglect for many years, but finally intentionally. And, Bill, if you would paint a picture for us now, what is the track now that it's been preserved, and, you know, how can we enjoy it?
Well, the adaptive use we've come to use over there is for walking trails. And I think that's really carried on through Hillsboro because Hillsboro is now – will be part of the Mountains to Sea Trail. And our walking trails at Airmount, which is Poets Walk, and then at the Speedway encompass 5 miles of walking trail that will connect to the Mountains to Sea Trail. And Hillsboro is also creating a river walk trail through downtown. So I think the theme of walking trails is really a good use for that property.
And it's a great way to tell the state's history as well. So you can go out, get a little exercise, enjoy nature. If you want to take the long walks,
and get a little history,
you can grab some history along the way.
Yep.
And a fascinating one. Then tell us about the exhibit at Orange County, the Historical Society.
Yes, up at the museum, we open the exhibit on May 30th, and it will be open through October 31st. It really sort of traces the history of the Speedway sort of parallel with NASCAR and how after NASCAR left, it became preserved and what's going on today. And it's free to the public, 11 to 4 Tuesdays through Saturdays, 1 to 4 on Sundays.
If you missed all that, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. We'll have it up there. Gene, and there's always a big event every year.
The last weekend in September, which this year is going to be the 26th, 27th, and 28th. We actually had a big event. We're going to honor the Wood Brothers this year. We honor a different driver every year. Marvin Pinch was last year, and the Wood Brothers are going to be there this year, and we're going to honor them.
Big party in September. We should mention, by the way, we're talking about Okanichi, of course, a tribe of Native Americans. That band located originally along Okanichi Island, just about where the Dan and Roanoke Rivers come together. About 700 members of that band still together, mostly in Alamance County. In fact, the smallest band recognized by the state of North Carolina. So I'll tell you a little bit about the Native Americans for whom Okanichi is named. A former NASCAR driver and president of the Historic Speedway, Gene Hobby, thank you for being on our program.
You're very welcome.
Bill
my
Crowther.
Pleasure. My pleasure.
Bill Crowther's historic preservationist. He manages the Speedway site. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
And Brandy Fields, executive director of the Orange County Historical Museum. Thanks so much, Brandy.
Thank you for having us.